breaks our bondages of traditions, our bondages of the world, the bondages that the enemy has upon us. And I pray, Lord God, now that the anointing will be released. And I can be as Jesus, and I can say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me too. Preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. To open the eyes of the blind. To release those who are in captivity. And to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name, Lord, that I desire to do this. Amen. 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 Book of Revelation. Chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. And it says there, I'll have the NASV beside me, but also have the King James also. And it says there in the King James Version, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. What kind of wonder? Great. What, just a little wonder? Wasn't a wonder. It was a great wonder. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, of course, in the spirit realm, this is talking about Jesus Christ, the woman being natural Israel, and the woman bringing forth a child, and that child was Jesus Christ. But this is so true for you and for me. I really believe that the primary purpose, not the only purpose, but the primary purpose of a woman is to bring forth children into the earth. And if women don't do that, we're over. It's over. It's done. There is no more of us. And so the primary purpose, or a primary purpose, of a woman in the earth is to bring forth seed, to bring forth children into the earth. And I really believe that that's when she's her most glorious. I really believe that that's when she's her most beautiful. I really believe that in the Lord's eye, this is when a woman comes into what she was created and destined to do. And she's glorious. And she's the queen. And there's a garland on her head. And she's on the top of the world because in her heart, God has placed a desire to give forth birth. In her heart, she wants to be productive. In her heart, she desires children. God's put that there. And she's on the top of the world then. The sun and the moon are under her feet. She's glorious. And then the Bible says here, verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Why? Why was the dragon standing in front of the woman? For to devour her child as soon as it was born. Though it is a fact that I really believe that a woman is the most glorious at this particular time, it is also a fact that the devil wants our children. And he's always before them, ready to devour them. Always. And those of us who have raised children know that a primary struggle, that from the time they're born until we go on, although all of our lives, a primary struggle, I don't care how old you are or young you are or how old or young your children is, a primary struggle that you always go through is to try to keep them from being devoured by something. And you may think that you're struggling with your kids. But what you're really struggling with is the enemy. Because he's the one that's wanting to devour them. And just as true as I really believe that you're created, woman, to bring forth children into the earth, and you're glorious, and I think you're lovely and beautiful at that time, and so does the Lord. But also I believe that the enemy wants to steal and kill your children and to devour them. And if you've ever raised one, you know that's true. And if you haven't, and you're going to, you'll know that's true. A constant struggle is always to keep your children safe. Keep them from the world, or keep them from sin, or however that you want to phrase it. Keep them from bad influences. Keep them out of trouble. Keep them out of mischief. Keep them out of prison. Keep them out of something. And you're always struggling and trying and working to keep your children from being devoured. Keep them away from drugs. Keep them away from sex. Keep them away from the... You're always struggling and fighting because there's something always trying to devour the children. And it is. It's getting stronger. Because he says his days are numbered. Now, there's a way, and this is what this is all about. There's a way to keep this from happening. And though I'm not an expert and I haven't been a perfect father, by no means, I have done a good job here. And I know something. I know something. I know how to keep your children from being devoured. And it's right here. It's in this next verse. This is the only way. The only way. And it works. For verse 5 says, "And she brought a man-child who was to rule all the nations." You know, and I know that this is Jesus, but we're also His body, and we're also to rule and reign. Right? I mean, I can't get into all of that, but Revelation chapter 5, verse 10 says, "And we shall rule with Him on the earth." It's not up in a chair in heaven somewhere. We're to rule. The church, the believer, is supposed to take dominion in all the earth. We're to bring the kingdom. "Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done." Where? On earth. And so we're taught this. And what I want us to understand is her child was caught up to God and to His throne. Let me read this verse again with that thought in mind. "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne." What kept the child from being devoured of the enemy, of the devil? Relationship with God. But this child was caught up into a heavenly dimension. This child was caught up and understood that God owned the earth. Understood the throne of God. Understood that Jesus Christ is King. Understood that it was a throne in heaven. And this child is caught up to that. And if you want to protect your child from being devoured, you must get your child caught up into the heavens. There is no other way. Without a personal relationship with that child in Jesus Christ, that child will be devoured. Look around. Open our eyes. Click the light on. Rattle the marbles. Find out. Understand that the child is going to be devoured without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it can't be your relationship that they're established on or caught up on. And it can't be your spouse's relationship or the preacher's relationship. It must be their own relationship with Jesus Christ that they understand that there is a throne in heaven. And without that, people, they will be devoured. Understand that. Bible is serious when it says, train up a child. That means to mold, bend, establish, make this child grow in the way he should go. And then when they're old, they won't depart from it. And I don't believe that means when they're growing up, you raise them in church and they're going to get away from church, and then when they get old, they're going to come back. No, I believe that if you train them up in the way they should go, they'll never leave. And that's why we love church to be like it is. We love church to be happy, a place of joy, where kids like to come, where they want to come to church, where they want to come and dance, where they have a liberty, where Bum and Diddy only is hitting them and saying, "Shut up and be quiet. Preacher's talking. Hey, it's a lot more important that your kid like to be in church than it is for me to talk." They need a relationship with Him. And the only thing that I know of, the only thing that I'm aware of, the only thing I know the Scriptures tell us is to get that child caught up to the throne of God. Amen. And so what we're here today to do is to begin a process of a life. A little baby was born a couple of months ago, named Sarah Grace Hem. The devil, the great dragon, is standing ready to devour that baby. And what we want to do is begin what we now do all we can to bring this child to the place that it can be caught up to the Lord. We want to create an atmosphere. We want to create a wall. We want to create, do everything that we possibly can to protect this child from the dragon. And though this child is only a few months old and it doesn't understand in the natural what I'm saying, I know its spirit hears this. His spirit is receiving. And you wonder, well, my child, you know, he can understand what you're saying. Yes, that child, the spirit can. And so that's why they don't bother me. And that's why, they're out there yelling and screaming and stuff. Yeah, let's fix that. But they just don't bother me walking around. They don't bother me. I love them to be here. I love children. What the church is today will be what the church will be tomorrow by what we allow or what we get into our children today. Did I say that right? Okay. So the scriptures teach us to dedicate our children to the Lord. And the Bible talks a lot about this. And I was looking this morning in the book of Leviticus, and it was talking about this dedication thing and purification thing. And I don't want to get into all of that, but it's real clear there that it's not only the child, it's the woman who's gone through something here. And I think all that purification stuff where she's, if it's a man, it's 7 days, and if it's a girl, it's 14 days, and if then there's 30 days of this and 60 days of that. I just really think what the Lord's really saying there is his husband, leave her alone, man. Let her recuperate. Give her some time off. She's been through something. And preacher, give her some time off. She can't go back to the temple 30 days if it's a guy, 60 days if it's a girl. No, do I have that? Yeah. See, you girls are really worse on your mamas than you. And I think what he's saying there is, preacher, don't expect him to come in here and dance and shout and run around. Man, let their body get healed. Let them recuperate. And give them a little time here. But it does make a big issue out of getting this child to the Lord. And Jesus, in the book of Luke, and I'd like for you to turn there with me, the book of Luke, chapter 2. If it was important for Jesus to be dedicated to the child, if it was important for Jesus as a child to be dedicated to the Lord, how many believe it's important for you to get your child dedicated to the Lord? It's very important. And you need to hear this in the Spirit. I really want us to see this today. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now let me just pause right there a second. What you name your children are so important. You're marking that child with us with something. And it was so important that Jesus have the right name that Father sent an angel to make sure he got the correct name. And what you name your child is so important. Because it means something. What Jesus means is from the Greek word sozo, which means Savior. Salvation. Save the world. He says his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save people from their sins. And so what we name our children is so absolutely important. And a lot of thought and prayer, seeking of God, should go before the naming of a child. So it says there that when the days of 8 days were accomplished, that he was brought, that he was circumcised. That's the covenant relationship. At 8 days, this child was brought into covenant relationships. Now, I don't know if you understand that or not. You know, we can bring our children into covenant relationships with Jesus, okay, when they're 8 days old. You know, immediately, we can bring them to the Lord. We can enter them into a covenant relationship with him. Then verse 22, when the days of her purification, this would have been like 30 days later. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to do what? To present him to the Lord. Our children really should be dedicated and presented to the Lord. In verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was a sacrifice that was brought for cleansing for the woman. There was a sacrifice that was brought for the Lord. Now, it's a big issue in the Scriptures. And there's this process that they go through to bring this child to the place where they will not be devoured by the devil. And that's what we're after. We're in this process. We're bringing this baby today. We're wanting to bring this woman to a place to recover herself. We're going to pray for Annette. We're going to pray for David that they will totally and absolutely recover in her body and David in this time of bringing forth the child. After the child was born, there was this covenant relationship that the child was brought into. And then this child was brought and presented to the Lord. And after the days of purification and sacrifice was given, there was an offering that was given to the Lord. It was a blood offering. It was something that was given for cleansing and to bring these people back into all the stuff that the blood does. How many knows we've got better blood? See, there's a blood offering that's been given for your child, and we've got to move into that. You know, I hear people talking about wanting revival, wanting revival, wanting revival. No, revival was given to us 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. What we've got to learn how to do is enter into that revival. Right? Has he already poured his Spirit out? Upon who? All flesh. And his sons and his daughters will prophesy. And you got to understand, there is already given to us revival. What we've got to learn how to do is keep in that revival. We leave the revival. The revival doesn't leave us. We get all in our traditions and all the things we want to accomplish, and we don't let people laugh. We don't let people have joy. We don't let children enjoy church. And we make church such a ritual and such a tradition and such a bondage. It's not fun. And who wants to go? Goodness gracious, people have a lot more fun at clubs than they do at church. How many think that's wrong? Come on. All right. Now we're going to dedicate this child, okay? What I want to do is we're going to have a dance. They've asked these girls, these twins, Angie and Angela, to dance. And so we want to sit back. We want to enter into this with them. And so what I want you all to do is go ahead and prepare. I want David and Annette to come up with a baby. I'm going to sit down, and then after the dance, I'll come back up, and I'll call the parents or whoever will be coming up to stand with them. Annette, I hope it's made that clear to you. And then you all will come up and be here with us as soon as this is over. But they need them. They need them up there right now. Now, the others don't have to come up until... Unless you want them up here right now, they don't have to come up until after the dance. But they need you guys up there now.